Good morning and welcome everyone to our worship service on the YouTube channel. This is a live stream program and we'll be posting this program a few hours later for you to revisit and share with others. If you have not yet subscribed to our channel, you're missing a lot. Don't forget to do so and refer this again to your friends and invite them to subscribe. We have many messages on it, and most exciting thing that we have there, the seminars and messages by Pastor Bill Liversidge, some of them you never heard. They are coming up. We're digging up all the archives, and they are coming up. Subscribe, share with your friends, and you will have access to all these treasures. I'd like to ask you to bow your heads with me as we open with prayer. Gracious, loving Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this beautiful day, this Sabbath, the day of rest that we can come into your presence, Lord, be touched by you, be healed by you, restored, comforted. And Father, we claim the presence of the Holy Spirit to speak to us through your word today. And give us grace, Lord, to receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to warn you that this is a very dangerous message, and many pastors dare not to preach things like this. Here's the danger that many or some may be offended by the simplicity of salvation, the good news. And on the other hand, some may take it to extreme, and the problem of both groups is the fact that they never studied or understood the sanctuary message and how God is saving human race from sin and the stages of salvation. So in Matthew 1:21, the Bible tells us as angel is speaking to Joseph about Mary, that she will bear a son, you will call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. So salvation is deliverance from sin. And we are saved. Bible speaks of salvation in three different tenses. We are saved, we are being saved, we will be saved. And each tense applies to the certain part of the sanctuary. We are saved from the guilt and punishment of sin, reference to the courtyard. We are being saved from the power of sin in our lives, reference to the holy place. And we will be saved from the presence of sin in our lives. And when it comes to salvation, we could actually parallel it with cleansing. It's the same meaning, cleansing from sin. So, in the beginning, the Bible says, God spoke and it was done. The book of Genesis. The heavens and the earth were made by the word of his mouth, Jeremiah said. What radical conclusion can we come to based on these passages of the scripture? The conclusion is this, that the word of God has power in itself to accomplish what it says. And the word of God, the New Testament tells us, it endures and abides forever. So, the title of the message is, How is Your Faith Today? How is your faith today, my friend? The faith is a total trust in the Word of God to accomplish what that Word says. This is a definition of faith. I was raised in a socialistic country, and I was raised as an atheist. That's what they are good in producing. We were brainwashed by the theory of evolution. And when evolution is, you know that evolution is antagonistic to creation. And when evolution is antagonistic to creation, and the creation is by the word of God, then evolution is antagonistic to the word of God. By the word of the Lord, the heavens and the earth were made. And even the material out of which God created all things came into existence at the very word of God. when he spoke and created heavens and the earth. And it was instantly. He spoke and it stood fast. So when God speaks, there is in his word the creative energy to produce the very thing that the word pronounces. Do you believe it? The question is for every listener, do you believe it? The test is coming at the end of the message. So, the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus is the word. The word of God has life in it. John says in John 6:63, actually Jesus is speaking, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. So the word of God is a living thing. And the life that is in it, it is the life of God. 1 Peter 1:25 says, it abides and endures forever. So the word of God abides and endures forever, my friend. That means that creative energy in it, in the word of God, is forever. So the Bibles that you are holding in your hands right now, it is a dynamite. It takes down the strongholds of the enemy in our lives.
Amen.
Thank you for the single amen. Keep it coming, my friends. So a dramatic experience in my life. I became a believer in Jesus Christ and his words. And then I began to notice that there are some Christians that they're acting as creationists because they claim to believe the word of God. And when they are in the presence of evolutionists, I would say when they're in the presence of creationists, they're acting as evolutionists because they don't believe the word of God 100%. And whenever the unbelief is, it is antagonistic to the word of God. Therefore, that person is in the camp of evolutionists. And if you are in that camp, even by one foot, I pray that through the word of God and by the grace of God, you will become 100% creationist today, because there are many benefits to it, many benefits. Loving Father, once again, I lift up my heart to you and I pray that you will speak to us through your word. Give us grace to hear your word and to believe. And may the power of your word, Father, to be revealed in my weakness today. The story is found in the Gospel of Mark. Let's actually go to the Gospel of Luke. The same story is found in both Gospels, but in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. Gospel of Luke chapter 5. This is the story of the leper coming to Jesus for healing. This story is taking place in Galilee. And as you all know, that the leprosy is a symbol of sin. Therefore, the leper here is representing sinners that encompasses the entire human race. Leprosy was one of the most loathsome and dreadful diseases known to man. The lepers were outcast. They were confined to other lepers, they were forced to stay away from their families and the communities. Leprosy was slow, progressive death. It was deforming the body until death ends the misery of the leper. Being a leper was being helpless and hopeless. This is the disease that describes, that illustrates best the development and defilement of sin. Take a look at chapter 5, verse 12. That's where the story begins. While he was, referring to Jesus, while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This man, the Bible says, was covered full of leprosy. Jeremiah would put it in a way that there was no soundness in him. But there are some positive things about this leper. This leper made a way to approach Jesus. And I was wondering, if he was confined to the other lepers, he was excluded from the communities, how could I hear about Jesus? And as I began to think, what could be the possibility, I thought could be that when he was pronounced as a leper and expelled from the community, from the society, to stay in the desert, could it be that one of the compassionate friends or the family members would have spoken to him and they would agree that he would bring him regularly the provision, the food, whatever he needs. Because you see, the lepers could not produce anything for themselves. And at a certain time, that man or woman would come and bring the food for this leper, would leave at a designated place and then walk back and wait to see that the leper would come. If he comes, that he is still alive. And as he would come to pick up this gift, this care package, that compassionate person would say, Jesus, who heals all the diseases, is in town. And as he heard this news about Jesus, it could have sparkled faith in him. And he took hold of this hope. And question to us is there any leper in our lives that need to be pointed to Jesus?
Yes.
Maybe it is us who need to approach Jesus. Have we been so desperate of our condition? The good news is Jesus is in town. He is here right now.
Amen.
And he is expecting each one of us. So this leper was so bold. He made his way to approach Jesus. He was bold. He knew. He recognized his hopelessness and helplessness. And the Bible says that he fell on his face and implored him. Other version says, begged him, beseeched him. This leper gave up on his ability and resources to be cured from leprosy that stands for sin. He said, you can make me clean. So, no matter who you are, my friend, who is watching or listening, right now or in the future, no matter who you are and how deep you may be in sin, point number one is this: Jesus can make you clean. He can heal you. He can restore you. And Jesus is the Word of God. That means the Word of God can heal and restore. The leper had confidence in the power of the Lord Jesus to heal, to cleanse him. Somehow today, not many followers of Jesus really believe and have confidence that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, can cleanse and deliver them from sin. Some sinners believe that Jesus can save and help others, but not me. Or even worse, that he can save me in my sin. Oh, let us hear again Matthew 1:21, that Jesus came to save his people from their sin, not in their sin. And Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, 27 actually, the Lord says, is there anything too difficult for me? Is there anything too difficult for God?
No.
God created the universe by the power of his word, and Jesus Christ is the word of God, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He speaks and it is done. His word was sufficient to establish the whole universe. That's how it operates. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to him by God, to God by him. And in 2 Peter, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the 2 Peter. Still hold on to the Luke. 2 Peter and chapter 1. And in verse 3 and 4, we read the following. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by this he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world today. Wow. So, imagine Jesus surrounded by his followers and by the crowd of people. He is teaching, healing people. People are so excited as they're witnessing all these miracles and listening to Jesus. And in their joy, they did not notice that a man covered full of leprosy came very close to Jesus. Everyone most likely jumped as far as they could. They left Jesus by jumping away from the leper. And whenever we are jumping away from the sinner, we are jumping away from Jesus. Jesus didn't jump away from the leper. The leper could have easily been stoned by people. He had no business to be there, but he had nothing to lose. Some people holding on to their miserable condition instead of coming to Jesus. You have nothing to lose when you come to Jesus, my friend, but you have everything to gain, absolutely everything. And by the way, what does it tell you about Jesus? That the leper came very close to him. Here's what it tells me. It tells me that Jesus is approachable. So point number one, Jesus can make you clean. Point number two, Jesus is approachable.
Amen.
Still in verse 12. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The leper was not sure that the Lord is willing to cleanse him. And so many sinners think the same way. My friend, you don't have to be hesitant like that. Jesus is approachable. Jesus can make you clean. And in verse 13, Jesus said, I am willing. He wiped out the doubt of the leper. And if anyone is listening today or in future to this message, if you are in doubt that Jesus is willing, he can make you clean, that he is approachable, please hear the words of Jesus. I am willing. Point number three, Jesus is willing to make you clean and heal and restore you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, it is the will of God that you should be sanctified. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:24. All things in heaven and on earth are existing in him, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, 17. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And by the way, what does it mean all? In my understanding, all means all. There is no exception. That is Romans 8:32. The willingness of God to cleanse you from sin is shown in the very gift of His only begotten Son for that purpose. And in Hebrews 4:16, this passage invites us, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Knowing that, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 13 is still in it, of the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. And He stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And in the Gospel of Mark, the same story is presented. And in verse 41, we read something beautiful about Jesus in this story. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. So point number four, Jesus moved with compassion. He stretched out His hand and touched the leper. Jesus touched the leper. While everyone else, including His followers most likely, jumped away as far as they could, no one would even come near to the leper. And if anyone listening today, and you know that you have that spot of leprosy, Jesus won't touch you.
Amen.
Jesus stretched out His hand. He did not say to him, come closer. No. Jesus stretched out His hand with compassion to be closer to the leper. Just as He stooped down from His throne of glory to the pit of human misery, and He touched the leper. My friend, do you need to be touched? If yes, lift up your heart to Jesus. Beseech Him. He is so willing. It was unthinkable in Jewish society to touch the leper. It was defiling yourself. Every time you touch the unclean, you have to go through a ceremony of cleansing for 7 days. Nowhere Bible speaks that Jesus went through any of those ceremonies. Cleanse himself after he touched the unclean. He was defiling yourself, but sin and leprosy cannot cling to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is in you, my friend, sin and leprosy cannot cling to you. And that's why he's standing at the door in Revelation 3:20 and says, I'm standing at the door and knock. Whoever will open, I will come in. Whoever will open, I will come in. Amen. Story of a little girl come to my mind as she was sharing her experience with Jesus. She said, one day, I heard a knock on the door of my heart. I opened the door, and there was a Jesus standing. I invited him to come in, and he stayed with me. The next morning, there was a knock on the door, and Jesus was residing with me in the home, in my heart. And I asked Jesus to open the door. As he opened the door, the devil was standing at the door. As he saw Jesus, he fled away. Wow. He's standing at the door and knock. Whoever will open, I will come in. My friends, what opens the door for Jesus to come in? Let me tell you what opens the door. Very simple. The biblical principle, hear the word and act upon it. The moment you act upon the word of God, you can have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is in you, because it is He who wills and does His good pleasure in you. The function of the Holy Spirit, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 is to bring the very life of Christ into you. So you hear the word, you act upon it, at that very moment the Holy Spirit is in you, bringing the very life of Jesus into you, and Jesus in you will never be attracted to sin. That's how a victorious life is possible for every Christian.
Okay.
So Jesus came to remove the leprosy, to impart righteousness. He does it by indwelling in us the Holy Spirit. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. And what is Jesus actually doing here by touching the leper? Well, by touching the leper, Jesus is symbolically saying to his Father that I am willing to take upon myself the leprosy of sin, shame, guilt, judgment, even the second death for the human race. And if you belong to the human race, my friend, you have that blessing. Jesus had lifted up from you sin, shame, guilt, the leprosy of sin, the judgment, and the second death. And what kind of life now is Jesus offering to you in exchange to our leprosy? He's offering to us his victorious life. And when that time came for Jesus to pay the price on the cross for the sins of the whole world, to pay his life as ransom for many, Apostle says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. The joy of Jesus, my friends, was to give us his life, his eternity, his victorious life. Only victorious life can endure forever. And the cross of Jesus was to lose his life. So his joy to give us his life, eternal, victorious life, was so much greater than the perspective of him losing his existence. So he endured the cross and despised the shame. And when he was on the cross, he was heard to cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Father looked down at Jesus on the cross, and according to Isaiah chapter 53 and 59, Father turned his face away from Jesus and let him die. Why? Why did the Father turn his face away from Jesus? Well, maybe some of you heard me before, but I will repeat this for the sake of those who never heard this. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Before I would answer this question, I would ask you another one. When Adam sinned, where were we? When Adam sinned, the answer we will find in the biblical principle of the solidarity, biblical oneness. I'm going to ask you to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 7. There are many passages. This is the shortest one. But once you understand this principle, you will begin to see this all through the Word of God. This is the principle of biblical oneness, solidarity. And in verse 9 and 10 we read, and so to speak to Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. When Abraham met Melchizedek, his great-grandson Levi did not exist. He was in the loins of Abraham. And when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, the Bible says that the Levite did it also. This is the concept of biblical oneness. So let me give you a simple illustration also. When God created all men in one man, you believe that? This is the concept, same one. The devil ruined all men in one man. This is the same principle. God redeemed all men in one man. This is the concept of biblical oneness. So when Adam sinned, we were in Adam. And whatever happened to Adam happened to all of us, the entire human race. So the devil ruined the whole human race in one man. But God had a plan. That plan was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. and my friends, it's such a good news in this verse. Before God created this world, before sin entered the human race, God had a plan to save us.
Amen.
And when the fullness of time came, God sent His Son in the likeness of human flesh. Jesus Christ became the second Adam. And the Bible tells us that it is of God that we are in Christ. God had put us in Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:30. The book of Ephesians has these passages in many places. Several times it says the same thought. God had put us in Christ. Jesus Christ lived sinless life. Now the same law must be applied now to both Adams. They are both under the same law. That is, whatever happened to the first Adam, because we were in him, happened to us. This is the concept of biblical solidarity. And whatever happened to the second Adam, Jesus Christ, because God had put us in him, now God considers that it happened to us. What a generous God. But he did not stop there. Then he takes the whole human race in the flesh of Jesus, and he brought it to the cross to meet the justice of the law. All mankind was represented in the humanity of Christ that died on the cross. And so, back to the first question now. When Jesus was on the cross and he cried out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Father turned his face away from Jesus and let him die. What made the Father turn his face away from Jesus? Whom did the Father see on the cross that made him turn away from Jesus? My friend, let me tell you what made the Father turn his face away from Jesus. It is because he saw you in Christ. He saw me in Christ. And he turned his face away from Jesus and let Jesus Christ taste your second death. That's why the second death is no longer in your future. Isn't that a good news?
Amen. Amen.
Jesus not only took our sins to the cross, he went to the cross as us, as you. He did not just die on the cross instead of you, he died on the cross as you. So that whatever happened to Jesus, now God considers that it happened to us. Wow, what a God we serve. In Jesus on the cross, justice and mercy kissed each other. A tremendous collision took place on the cross of Jesus between God and man, where all the pain was absorbed by the heart of God. So that whatever, please hear it, whatever happened to Jesus, now God considers that it happened to us. That is the gospel. So why would Jesus go through such an agony? Him and the Father, why? For such sinners as us? The answer is, for God so loved the human race that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me share briefly, repeating the same thing that you've heard from me before. Let me share with you the depth of God's love for you, my friend. In John 17:23, Jesus was praying to his Father, saying, in the presence of the disciples, he's saying, Father, that they may know that you love them as you love me. I will paraphrase it now so you can actually hear what Jesus said. It simply says that God the Father loves you not less than he loves Jesus Christ. Us? A sinner?
Amen.
Yeah. That's what he says. And in John 15:9, Jesus said, just as much as Father loves me, I love you that much. So here you have it. God the Father and God the Son loves us infinitely. Then Jesus goes to the cross, and on the cross he signs with his own blood what he just said. And as he's on the cross, he's tempted three times, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and save yourself. Jesus is the Son of God. He could do it. But could he, by coming down from the cross and saving himself, save us also at the same time? No way. He had to make a choice, and the choice that he made should speak loudly to every human being. Something very profound. And here's what it speaks to you today, my friend. The fact that Jesus did not come from the cross, he is speaking to your heart today. I love you. more than I love myself. And he dies as you. So you will not have to go through such an agony of eternal death. This is your God, my friend. And this is the gospel, the character of God that turns the sinners to God. And now you can have the assurance that although Jesus passed into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, he has not lost his sympathy with you, but is still touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He comes close to you in pity because he knows our frame. He knows that he remembers that we are just a dust. You see, God made us out of dust. He made his hand dirty, dusty, and he is still willing to work with the dust and mankind because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in all that sin has done to you, my friends, and to me, we may have the inspiring thought that Jesus does not despise us and is not ashamed to come into close companionship with each one of us so he may help us. In all their affliction, the Bible says, Isaiah 6:39, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. In all our affliction, he is afflicted. It is still the same now. Galatians now, chapter 3. Turn your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, and I'll begin with verse 13. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. My friends, this passage tells me that Christ took on himself the curse in order that the blessings may come upon us. Wow. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, although he knew no sin, he was made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He suffered our death that we might share in his life. And this exchange is made when you come into touch with him in confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And how much is lost by holding Jesus off as a stranger or by regarding faith in him as a theory? But when we know that he identifies himself with us in all our fallen condition, taking on himself and from you your infirmities, what a precious assurance we can have. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Wow. So point number one, Jesus can make you clean. Point number two, Jesus is approachable. For anyone who needs to approach Jesus today, point number three, amen. Jesus is willing to make you clean. Is anyone listening today or in the future to this message? Is anyone that has a spot of leprosy, Jesus Christ wants to touch you. Will you let him? Point number four, Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and he touched the leper. He touched the leper. And that is why the leprosy immediately left him. Matthew 18:17 says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Whenever Jesus was touching the suffering ones, or whoever touched him, the power of healing went from him to them. He received unto himself their diseases in exchange for his healing power. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, my friends. He is approachable. Do you want to be touched by Jesus now? Do you want to touch Jesus now so that the power may come out of him to you? Mark 6:56 says, all who touched him were cured. Do you want to touch Jesus now? Do you want Jesus to touch you now? What did the leper do? The Bible tells me. He boldly came to Jesus by faith, knowing that Jesus can. He fell on his face. He begged him, he beseeched him, he implored him. So my friend, lift up your heart to God, beseech him, beg him to cleanse you, show that you are serious about what you are asking for. And Jesus is always willing. I am willing to be cleansed, be restored, be cleansed. So, Jesus is saying to you today, be ye clean. The leper was cleansed immediately. What about you? I love those statements. Acts of the Apostles, page 520 says, these are from the red books that many disregard today, but I love them. The statement is found on page 520, Acts of the Apostles. The Word of God is the truth and the channel through which God manifests His Spirit and power. Christ's Object Lessons, page 38 says, in every command and in every promise of the Word of God, there is a power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. He who by faith receives the Word of God is receiving the very life and the character of God. So, the leper was cleansed immediately. What about you? For the sake of your own soul, put your trust in the Word of God that abides and endures forever. Recognize the creative energy in it that abides and endures forever. For it is the same to you today as it was when He spoke the world into existence and brought light out of darkness and cleansed the leper. When you believe the Word of God, and the proof to it that you believe, you act upon it, then the power of the words, that power becomes active in our lives. So that Word of God spoken to you today, if received, creates you new in Christ. That Word spoken into dark recesses of your heart today produces the light which expels the darkness. The entrance of your words brings light, the psalmist said. That word spoken today to you, afflicted with the leprosy of sin, if received, immediately cleanses you. Let it do. Let it. And how shall you be cleaned? How? Well, here's how, my friend. By the creative energy of that word, be ye clean. Jesus is speaking. It is written in John 15:3, as after the supper, on the road to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and saying, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's how we are clean. Who said that? Jesus said it. Do we believe it? So how is your faith today? This is the test. How is your faith today? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, we thank God that you received the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Oh, please hear it. It performs its work in the person who believes the Word of God. So, are you clean? Will you be now 100% creationist, or you will go on being in the camp of evolutionists? I pray that you will make a right choice. The Lord said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. Choose life. when you come to Jesus, you see, as a sinner in repentance, he declares you righteous. You are clean. You are justified. This is the courtyard message. And now he wants to make you into what he declared you to be. And that leads us to the holy place now. You see, because sanctification that takes place in the holy place is simply a daily justification. We must come to Jesus every day, spending time in the Word of God, be washed by the water of the Word. May each one of us go forth today rejoicing in the power of the Word of God to do for us and in us what it actually says. Live by it every day. For staying clean is coming to Jesus every day. And don't let the enemy to hold you in his camp. So, make time in the Word of God daily. And make it as necessary as breathing and eating. I meet many.
Amen.
People who are on a starvation diet. I call them spiritual bulimics. But I pray for each one of us and those who will be listening to this message that you will be fattened and washed as you feast on the Word of God daily. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, we want to thank you and praise you for your loving kindness and tender mercy towards human race, that you came to the very pits of the human race when we were as a leper's law. And you came and touched the lepers. And those who believe that you can, those are made clean. They're justified in your sight, Lord. And now you want to wash us with the water of your word daily, Father, that we may continue to stay clean. Oh, Father, we surrender to you. We thank you for the beautiful character of Jesus, that Jesus can make us clean, that he is approachable, that he is willing, and that he is moved with compassion, and he is touching us on a daily basis. Oh, Father, don't let us wander away from Jesus. Keep us closer to Jesus, closer to his word, that we may hear his word and act upon it on a daily basis, that Christ himself and the Holy Spirit may dwell in us, Father, and conquer every besetment of sin in us. This is such a simple principle that you have outlined in your word through the sanctuary message. Bless us, Father, as we take this in, and give us grace to share with everyone, every leper and everyone who is in darkness, and who will touch those who are in darkness in our next message. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, one
amen.
More quick. Welcome everyone to our worship service on YouTube channel. This is Creative Media Ministries presenting the services for some churches in our state here. And we welcome everyone. We know that the Hennett Church and some Van Nuys churches joining us. We greet you all. I've been to your churches. I remember many of you. And I pray that today this message will be a blessing to you. So,
amen.
This is a live stream YouTube program, and we will be posting it on our channel for you to revisit it and share with others. On this, you will find also many more messages that will uplift your heart and draw you closer to Jesus. If you have not subscribed yet to this channel, please do so, so you won't be missing huge blessings. And one of the biggest blessings you can find on this channel, they are the messages by Pastor Bill Liversidge, his seminars. We are posting them. They used to be only for the TV channels, but now we are making available publicly, including some archived sermons. So don't miss these blessings. And we will make a quick announcement at the end as well. And as of now, we will begin the message with prayer first. Bow your heads with me, please, as we open with a word of prayer. Our gracious, loving Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the gift of the Sabbath, that we may come to you, into your presence, and you could open our eyes that we may see. You could cleanse us from the leprosy of sin. Father, I thank you for everyone who is joining and will be watching it later. This message may it be a blessing to them, Lord. And may Jesus be uplifted today and the hearts of people rejoicing in the gospel. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear friends, the last couple of weeks brought great changes in our world. And the Seventh-day Adventist Christians should not be taken by surprise. In the Red Books, The Testimonies to the Church, the Servant of the Lord had written Volume 9, page 11, it says, "Soon in our world great changes will take place and the last day's events will be rapid ones." And then in the Great Controversy she was describing this event, and we could see that all that was described 100 years ago, it's happening today. And the Lord himself, in Luke chapter 1, verse 12, in chapter 21, actually, he said that the heart of many will fail because of the spiritual blindness. People are blind to their need of the Savior of the world. And in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3:18, curse was pronounced upon this world. And today we will look into a miracle that took place in a cursed place, in the opening of the eyes of the blind. Mark chapter 10. Open your Bibles with me, please. Mark chapter 10. I know at this time when of the lockdown, many people just only watching the TV. But today I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, my friends, because the Word of God has power. Mark chapter 10, there's a story of the blind man, miraculous story of healing. And the fact that this story is packed between two events make it even more significant and applicable to us. Jesus is predicting his sufferings and death in Jerusalem, the end of his earthly ministry, and his disciples are not getting it. It went over their heads, so to say. Moreover, two of them were so self-centered that they are seeking the highest position. And the rest of them are angry with them because these two beat them to it, got ahead of them. This is what preceding the story. And the other event following the story is the triumphant entry of Jesus to Jerusalem. Of course, people are shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And we know what follows, that he is cleansing the temple, he is cursing the fig tree, and it was the cursing of the self-righteousness that was enacted by the Jewish nation. And here in between these two events, we find the story of a blind man as Jesus came to Jericho and he is leaving the city of Jericho. Let's take a look closer to this story. Verse 46, let's read it. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Jericho, my friends, in the time of Jesus, was a tropical city of wealth and luxury. It was a home for many priests on a wealthy side. Jesus, with his disciples, came to Jericho, and now he is leaving Jericho. And as you remember, Jericho is associated with the cursed. In Joshua 6:26, you could read that Joshua pronounced cursed upon this city if anybody will rebuild it. And then in 1 Kings chapter 16:34, we read that that curse actually took place. So it is a symbol of curse, the city of Jericho. And Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem as he's leaving Jericho. He is on the way to the city of God, the city of peace. They journey from the cursed place to the city of God. And what a symbol it is there for us. And as he was leaving Jericho, Jesus is doing something very significant here. He reveals the purpose of his mission. And his mission is to rescue us from the curse that came as a result of sin. And what did sin brought upon the human race? You know, we can make a long list, but few of them that you could actually identify, that you could see it all around you. Sin brought poverty, slavery, oppression, misunderstanding, diseases, blindness, viruses, death, curse, separation, hatred, divorces, disasters. That's what sin brought upon human race. Jesus came to this cursed place, Jericho, which is the symbol of our world. And the purpose of his coming was expressed through the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus is repeating his own word from the scroll of Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that he came to recover the sight of the blind. So the blind man, the beggar, as we read, was sitting by the road. Let's identify and describe the condition of the blind. First of all, the Greek indicates that he was persistent beggar. In verse 48, we could read the following. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out the more. So he was a persistent beggar. And his name is Bartimaeus. It simply means the son of Timaeus. And the names in the Bible always have meaning. Timaeus means foul, utterly unclean, wicked. That's the meaning of Timaeus. Bartimaeus is the son of the unclean and the wicked. And as we would describe the condition of this man, the son of the unclean is also blind. The blind cannot cleanse himself or stay clean. This is his condition. We could see in it the degradation of the human race by every generation. Unclean and blind. This is what sin has done to the human race. Many today think that they are good, they're not bad. My friends, no one is good, the Bible says. We all have gone astray. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all unclean and blind. Our eyes are open when we come to the light, the Word of God, and hear it. The Bible says, blessed is he who hears the Word of God. Bartimaeus was a type of what the sinner is by nature, blind, hopelessly blind, unless the healing Savior shall interfere and pour out on him the light of day. My friends, there are a couple of reasons that could have caused Bartimaeus to remain blind. You know what they are? Number one is that if Jesus would not come to the cursed place, and praise God that Jesus came to this cursed place. Amen? And the second reason that could cause Bartimaeus to remain blind, if Bartimaeus would not take advantage of the coming of Jesus to Jericho, the cursed place. And here is, we could see the parallel to our world. So if someone sitting here today blind, spiritually, or unclean because of sin, take advantage of the presence of Jesus and do what this blind and unclean man did. For Jesus came to give the sight to the blind and to set the captives to sing free. That's why Jesus came. This is his mission. I meet many blind people today. They are spiritually blind. They're blind to the source of their sight. And the source of spiritual blindness is this. Number one, it is when person does not know Jesus Christ personally. And the fact that Jesus is longing to close us with a pure and clean robe of righteousness. And the other source of blindness is when the person sees the light but chooses to walk in darkness. So he's ending up in total darkness. Hearing the word of God and not acting upon it, my friends, results in blindness. Verse 47, Mark chapter 10, verse 47. We read, when he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Here's our point number one. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What is the statement of a blind man telling us about Bartimaeus? Well, three things it tells us about this blind man. That he believed that Jesus is the promised one, that he was to come for the line of David. That's number one. Number two, Bartimaeus realized that he needed his sight to be restored. And number three, he acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah. He was aware of the statement in the scrolls of Isaiah that Jesus came for that very purpose, to fulfill that promise to recover the sight of the blind. This was Bartimaeus' golden opportunity, and guess what? He took the complete advantage of this opportunity. Verse 48, many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus, as we see, had obstacles. Circumstances were against him. People wanted to quiet him. They did not want him to bother Jesus or come to Jesus. You may have challenging circumstances in your life today, my friend. Everything may be against you and preventing you to come to Jesus and to ask what you really need. There might be some people in your life also causing or saying to you, discouraging you from coming to Jesus. They're telling you not to bother Jesus with your need. Bartimaeus, my friends, was a persistent beggar. Persistent and fervent beggar. In spite of the fact that many were sternly trying to stop him. You know, people ask once, there is no answer, and they stop asking. By stopping asking, they state that it was not that important to them. And through this, God is revealing to us, showing ourselves to us, the strength of our desire. And the fact that some asking, begging persistently, is saying that it is very important to them, very important to them. Verse 49 says, and Jesus stopped and said, called him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. Jesus stopped. He stood still. Why? Let me tell you why. Because he hears the voice of the persistent beggar. Oh. Call him here, Jesus said. When you are begging, asking Jesus persistently, he invites you into his presence. Call him here, Jesus said. Our world, my friends, is full of blind and unclean, polluted ones who need to be called. Jesus is anxious to call them, but he doesn't hear their persistent voice. These people, you could find even in the churches today. So if you are listening today to this message, or maybe you will be listening to this in future as we will be posting this message, and you think and realize that you are, in some areas of life, you're blind or unclean, I have a good news for you, my friend. Jesus is calling the blind and the unclean. Point number two, take courage, stand up. Jesus is calling for you, my friend. Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. Verse 50. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Here's point number three. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Take a look at the actions of Bartimaeus here, my friends. The blind beggar. Number one, his action. He throws aside his cloak. Number two, he jumped up. Number three, he came to Jesus. Let's take a look at each one of them more closely. Number one, his action. Bartimaeus, he's throwing aside his garments, his cloak, his own garments, so nothing would keep him from coming to Jesus. Because one thing that hindered him from jumping up and coming to Jesus was his own garments, his filthy rag. Many today are holding on to their own cloak of righteousness, and our righteousness, the Bible says, is a filthy rag. Just as the fig trees, you remember, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve threw together the fig leaves to cover their nakedness. But the problem with the fig leaves, they faded. That is why when he came to Jerusalem and saw that fig tree, fruitless tree, he cursed that fig tree and it withered away. So the son of Timaeus throw aside his cloak, his garment. And until we do the same, my friends, we will remain blind to our own need of righteousness of Jesus and need of the sight that he wants to restore to us. And by the way, we need to keep in mind that his righteousness has no threat of human devising. Then the second action of Bartimaeus. Today many, many are slow to come to Jesus. Bartimaeus jumped up. He has heard that Jesus, the son of David, the Messiah, is calling him. Did you hear Jesus calling you, my friend? The blind man throws aside his cloak. He is free from it. What a freedom he obtained by throwing aside his own cloak of righteousness, his cloak, his filthy rags. He jumped up because he has a great expectation and joy. My friend, did you hear Jesus calling you? Are you slow to move to come to Jesus? Throw aside your garment, your own garment of righteousness. Come to Jesus as you are. Jesus wants to open our eyes and close us with his own cloak of righteousness that has no thread of human devising in it. And he is anxious to give us the real joy. And the third action of Bartimaeus, he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Verse 51. And he answered him. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Point number four. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want me to do for you, says Jesus. Please note, Jesus here is actually answering the cry of the blind man. And by asking the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus is affirming the faith of the Bartimaeus, the blind man, in the Son of David, the Messiah. You see, Jesus wants to affirm your faith in him. Faith is a muscle, just like a muscle. It gets stronger as it has been exercised. So trusting his word and acting upon it, this is the best exercise of faith. Trusting the word and acting upon it. And if you do, the day will come that Jesus will do through you what he had promised. You will heal the sick. You will raise the dead. Greater thing than I will you do. Greater things than I will you do. Verse 51, still in it. Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. I want to regain my sight. And that's what the human race in this cursed place need to realize, that we need to regain our sight so we can see and understand the character, the undistorted character of God. So we can depend totally on God and not on the things of this world that are perishing. So we can see and understand where we are in the course of history of this world that is outlined in the biblical prophecies. In many aspects of life, people are blind. People don't know what to do. Blind is leading the blind. They will both fall into a ditch unless they come to Jesus. My friends, the entire world today is on the brink of falling into a ditch. And God has called us to proclaim the last day's messages and to call upon this world and to the children, to blind people in the world, come out of here, my people. Come out of Babylon. Verse 52. As Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? In 52 he says, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Jesus spoke and immediately the man regained his sight. That is how easily God can solve the human problem. He speaks and it is done. In the beginning, God, the Lord God spoke and it was done. By the word of the Lord, the heavens and the earth were created. His word has in it the power to accomplish the very thing that it says. It is the word of God that restores the sight, my friend. The Lord spoke, and immediately the Bible says here again, his sight, do you see it? The word of God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible says that the blind man who regained sight, he followed Jesus on the road. He followed Jesus on the road. And where Jesus was going to? In verse 46, he was going to Jerusalem. As he was going, verse 40, he was on the way to Jerusalem in the chapter. So, he followed Jesus on the road. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of peace. And it is those whose eyes are restored are the ones who follow Jesus to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the place where Jesus was persecuted the most. And eventually he was crucified in Jerusalem. So going to Jerusalem for Jesus was always identified with suffering and persecution. So as the followers of Jesus Christ, are you willing to go with him up to Jerusalem? If you do, my friend, if we do, we are to take up our cross and to follow Him. And if you do, you will know the sufferings of Jesus and what He had to go through to save each one of us, to cleanse us, to restore our sight, and to cover us with His robe of righteousness. And so this story is, in a nutshell, the story of Jesus and the human race that He created and came to restore it after fall. Isn't it a beautiful story? Jesus came to Jericho, a cursed place. He restores the person who realizes his need in Jesus, the promised one. And he joined Jesus on the way to the city of God. And if your sight is restored, if you join Jesus to Jesus, and you are following Him to the city of God, you are living the cursed place, my friend, because this world is not your home. And whatever your position may be, my friends, in the rank of society, it really doesn't matter. You may have high position, you may have low position, it really doesn't matter. Everyone realizing his need in Jesus can join Jesus. Everyone, without any exception. Do you remember who was the first person that joined God at Jericho? You remember? It was a woman, the prostitute, Rahab. And now, the man, the blind, poor, the son of the wicked, joined Jesus. And guess what? Guess what? They were not rejected by Jesus. The one who comes to me, Jesus said, I will by no means cast out. Today you may be rejected by society, by friends, family members. Maybe your own workplace rejected you because of this crisis, worldwide crisis. But good news is, my friend, Jesus does not reject you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you even to the very end. I don't know what else can I say to strengthen you, but these are the words of Jesus. They are strengthening. The going may be tough, my friends, at times, but Jesus walks with us, and Jesus talks to us through the upholding word of power, and He is leading us to heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of eternal peace, my friend. So Jesus came to the cursed place. He has mercy on each one of us. And He leaves this cursed place, and He wants you to join Him on the way to the city of God. So, my friends, take courage. Stand up. Jesus is calling for you. If you have a need, ask Jesus. Be persistent. He hears the voice of a persistent one. Throw aside your own cloak of righteousness. Let nothing hinder you from coming to Jesus as you are. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus says to you. Do you actually believe that He could do whatever you ask? Do you need to regain your sight, my friend, so you can actually see that we are in a cursed place and this is not our home? We don't need to have a tie to the world. Take courage. Stand up. Jesus is calling for you today, my friend. If it is your desire to join Jesus with me on the way to the city of God, heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of peace, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. The loving Father, we are so grateful to you that you sent your Son Jesus to this cursed place, where we were hopeless and helpless, blind, and Jesus came to restore the sight of the blind, and to invite us to walk with him on the road to the city of God. So Father, I pray if there's anyone that is still have blindness, Lord Jesus, speak to the person. Cause the person to realize the need. The sight needs to be restored. If there's any self-righteousness that we have, Lord, give us grace to throw aside our filthy rags and receive your cloak of righteousness. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, that through his death we are reconciled to you, we're justified, that he opened our eyes, Lord. And I pray for every listener today and in future that your grace will be sufficient to them, that in spite of this challenging time that we live, may the faith of Jesus will be in them, that nothing can separate them from the earth. No worldly tie. As a result of revelation of Jesus, the character of Jesus, we all will be drawn to you, Lord, and truly nothing will be able to take us out of his hand. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So, my dear friends, one quick announcement before you go. Actually, two quick announcements. If you are blessed today, the last 3 months in this world were very difficult for all the ministries. And if you are blessed by this message and other messages of this ministry, Creative Media Ministries, that are posted on YouTube channel, maybe you've heard us before, please consider to support Creative Media Ministries. Your tax-deductible donations will help us to take this gospel to all the world that is blind and in darkness, so that many may receive their sight and join Jesus with us on the way to Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. Here's the information that you may need to send your tax-deductible donations. You can address this to Creative Media Ministries, Creative Media Ministries, or you could write CMM, CMM, P.O. Box 837, Murrieta, that is M-U-R-R-I-E-T-A, California 92564. Again, Creative Media Ministries, P.O. Box 837, Murrieta, California 92564. Or go on our website, www.creativemediaministries.org, and click on button Donate, and it will take you through. Thank you for your support, my friends, and please, one more item here. If you would like to get more blessings, you have our link, the YouTube channel link. There are many messages, uplifting and instructing messages, gospel messages. And we began to post the archives of the messages by Pastor Bill Liversidge and his video sermons and seminars. They are all of it, well, many of them available, and the rest of them are coming on a regular basis. Subscribe to our channel, share with your friends and neighbors, and bless them. This is not a difficult time thing, but you will actually bless them by sharing with them this YouTube channel. And please don't forget to subscribe. Help us to develop this YouTube channel to take these messages worldwide. Thank you for your support, your contributions. If you have any prayers, you can join us at our prayer meetings at 5 p.m. Pacific time every Thursday. We will pray with you and for you. And also at 3 p.m. every Sabbath, we have West Coast program and prayer time for all the needs. Join us. And until we meet again, may the grace of God be with each one of you. Amen. Hello, anybody still left present with us here? This is Grant. We are on the
hey, Grant.
We are on the conference call now.